The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. So if you're not very churchy, this reading and sermon are for you. Actually, if you are involved in church, it's for you too, but it's not quite as pleasant. And by involved, I mean people like pastors, people serving on council leaders, and actually anyone here who in their pocket this morning has a St. Matthew, a literal church key for St. Matthew. For us, insiders, this sermon may be a little prickly at times, but really for our own good. But for those who feel like outsiders, know that you and the Canaanite woman in this gospel reading may have much in common. These two stories set side by side don't seem to have a connection, but they really do. The connection is faith. How easy it is for insiders to trust in religion and ourselves instead of God, and how outsiders are naturally driven by their need to trust God. Know that Pharisees were very pious, religious, involved. They were the insiders of the day. People looked up to them and admired them for being so upright. But Jesus describes them as plants to be uprooted and blind guides. Kind of shocking. Why is he so critical? Aren't they trying their best? But their best at what? Jesus is suspicious of fervency in terms of religion and religious rules and religious behaviors and religious laws, which end up driving people to trust in the rules and the doctrine and the institution and their own behavior instead of God. He says that it really isn't about rules at all. God isn't about rules, and he's talking about food rules here, but rather, God's all about what's in our hearts. Not rules, heart. In other words, one can appear to do all of the right things, but do them for all of the wrong reasons. And so we humans can't judge. It's the intention, the reason behind what we do, what matters, and that's why we can't judge one another. In the next story, Jesus crosses paths with a woman who's a far cry from religious. She's not even Jewish. Canaanites were foreigners, outsiders, and in Jesus' day, they were enemies of Israel. Interesting that Jesus calls the Pharisees blind, the disciples, like last Sunday, mini-believers, you of little faith, and yet the Canaanite woman, he calls her having great faith. Ironically, she's the only person in the whole book of Matthew that Jesus says has great faith. Now, there are a couple of things about this story that many find disturbing. Jesus calls the woman a dog. None of us really like that. And it appears that the woman wins the argument and changes Jesus, the Son of God's, mind. First, we have the dog comment. A dog, really, Jesus? Jesus is putting this woman, this person, this human being, in her place, not really because she's a woman, but because she's simply Jewish. And he sees his mission first to the children of Israel. And so he uses a pretty colorful expression of his day. Next, we wonder, you know, if Jesus is the Son of God, then why doesn't he already know he's supposed to heal her daughter? And even worse, why does he say no to somebody just because she's an outsider? And here, we have to remember that in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, God is not pictured as immovable or omniscient, all-knowing, like later Christians described God hundreds of years later. But rather, in the Old Testament, the relationship between God and Israel is always push and pull. God challenging, the Israelites responding. It's always changing. It's full of passion and wrestling. And so Jesus, who's described by Matthew as Emmanuel, God with us, embodies this familiar relationship of push and pull. So changing his mind doesn't make him suspicious to the original hearers, but the opposite, it confirms that he's from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what about us? Also not the children of Israel. Don't we sometimes feel like the woman? That God doesn't hear us when we pray, when we ask for help? That sometimes we have in our mind that we're not important enough, that God has much more important things to do than listen to our prayers, than tend to us. And there are indeed critical things about which God is constantly, constantly at work in the world, with or without our prayers, in our world and our country, including restraining sin and hatred and evil and violence. However, this outsider, this woman, turns God's no into a yes. Jesus says, no. Children, I'm about the Israelites, the children. You're the outsider, the dog. And she says, smilingly, I can imagine, okay, I'm a dog. But dogs get crumbs, don't they? And this faith, this sense of wanting Jesus' help and not being put off astounds Jesus. Compared to the religious Pharisees who expect God to listen to them because they followed the rules, she comes before Jesus simply with need, without any religious pretense, simply trusts that he can do something. All she has before Jesus is her need, nothing to stand on. That's why she, in the words of Martin Luther, wrestles a yes out of God's no. And we, all human beings, are to approach God as this Canaanite woman, without religious pretenses, without anything to stand on, simply our honest, our real need. I mean, just imagine. God has no requirements of us. No quid pro quo. God doesn't say, first, you must do this, little human being, repent, or get baptized, or claim me as your savior, and then I'll listen. Nope. Actually, God yearns for us to go to him with our needs, wants to us to go come to him as a child comes to their parent for help, with any need, big or little. See, now there's a miracle for you. The creator of the universe wants to hear our every little prayer. In the introduction to the Lord's Prayer in the Small Catechism, Luther describes the meaning of the phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven." He writes, "With these words, God wants to entice us so that we come to believe, trust, he is truly our Father and we are truly his children, in order that we may ask him boldly and with complete confidence, just as loving children ask their loving father." I remember when I heard this description of God wanting to hear all of our needs for the first time, a parishioner at St. John's Lutheran Church in Summit, New Jersey, at a Monday night class, I was blown away to think that God wanted me to come to him. That's how much he cares. I thought that I wasn't supposed to bother God with anything little. Yes, everything. He's my good father, our good father. Just imagine that God wants you to come to him with all of your needs, all of your concerns, completely trusting him like a child to loving parents, so that God can give you faith to deal with whatever happens and answer your prayers. Yes, no, wait. Worship and church and prayer and Bible study, all good things that actually deliver a loving God to us, not requirements of us, but they actually give us God. God comes to us through these things. The trouble of insiders is that the old Adam or Eve, the old legalist in us, would rather use what we do in religious life to try to gain leverage over God, thinking that the more that we do, the more God should listen to us, or even the more respect we should get from other people. But trying to leverage God only leads to blindness. Blindness, Jesus says. God, on the other hand, yearns for us to come to him with all of our needs, aches for us to come to him. And even better, God comes to us just as Jesus did to the woman, even though he wasn't supposed to. God comes to us this morning through this word and through the crumbs of that meal to be with you in all of your needs, big or small, to give you faith, to give us faith by which to trust him. He does this for all outsiders and for all insiders. That is, for all who have need of him. Let those who have ears hear.